Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi, I'm Stephen Biscotti.
And I'm Justin Candelario.
And you're listening to
The Saturday Morning Superman Show.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is a podcast about Superman in animation across generations. This show is also brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York.
So, we are finally on to Brainiac with his full-on body. With his full-on body, and he's established himself. He's like, he's evolved even more since he was just a baby little sphere back on Krypton, right, Steven?
Yeah, as the trend with the last few episodes of Superman the Animated Series has been, we've seen Superman meet and encounter more and more of his rogues gallery. So he's encountered Toyman, he's encountered Parasite, he's encountered Metallo. Now he's up against Brainiac, who I think, aside from Lex Luthor and Doomsday, is probably considered like one of like the biggest of Superman's villains.
Even bigger than Darkseid?
Yeah, I would probably say so. Because, you know, you have like Batman animated and you know, he's got like the Joker and all of that. But in the mid-90s, like Brainiac was like the villain for Superman. And I think of it like whenever they would do like action figure, like 2-packs, like they would always have like Brainiac with Superman and
like those 2-packs up there.
Yeah, yeah. I have a box set called Battle for Metropolis, and it was a set of figures from Superman the Animated Series. It was notable because it was the first box set to actually feature a Lois Lane action figure from the animated series. So at that point, the only way you could get the animated Lois figure was through that box set. Which, ironically enough, when DC Collectibles did their brief Superman the Animated Series 2-pack, they offered Superman and Lois Lane, but they never have made like a Lois Lane figure like separate. But Brainiac's a pretty big villain. He was going to be utilized in, again, Superman Lives, the Tim Burton, Nicolas Cage film. He was going to be one of the villains in that. He's currently, I believe he's been featured in pretty much all the live-action television series for Superman, but I think the best version to date's absolutely Krypton on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, because the one on Supergirl, we haven't gotten him on Supergirl yet in the CW universe. We've only gotten, you know, a hint that he's existed because through Brainiac 5, which we all know as Brainy. And actually, you haven't seen the episodes yet for Lex Luthor episodes, Steven, but they actually does mention his ancestor of Brainiac, how his ancestors used to collect worlds and things like that. And he actually turns into, you know, kind of a Brainiac form for like one episode, which is very interesting, which I can't wait to hear how you think of that when you get to that point, because very, very, very good establishment, you know, on how Brainiac is in there. And Steven just pulled out a book out of nowhere.
I have a book called Supergirl, The Secret Files of Kara Danvers. It just came out, I believe it came out this year. It's by Amulet Books, an imprint of Abrams Books. And it's a guide to the whole entire series, I think up until like season 3. And I'm sure there's stuff on Brainiac in here. But that's a cool book that I've been referring to, because I did watch season 1 and I watched most, I believe, of season 2. But I'm a little behind on Supergirl, but I do love Supergirl. But that's a book that I've been referring to. Brainiac was really cool on Smallville. For anybody that watched that, you remember that James Marsters from Buffy, he played Brainiac on that. And it was a very different take on the character than as he appeared in the comic books. But I believe he was introduced as Professor Fine. And
so he was human?
Well, no, he was Brainiac in human form and he was deceiving everyone, and you thought, like, oh, he's just, like, a college professor, but then you ultimately find out. Well, you actually know, my mistake, you know that he's Brainiac because he's introduced as Brainiac,
okay.
But then he takes the form of a professor, and then through a story arc, he's revealed ultimately as Brainiac to Clark Kent, but, I don't remember if that was at the end of season 2 or 3, or it was like at the beginning. I think it was at the end of the season premiere for like 3. And there's like a Depeche Mode song playing as he's like forming off of like the ship. And it was a really cool scene. And to this day, whenever I hear Depeche Mode, all I could think of is that scene. So I maybe for like the next like interlude, like for the show, we'll have to play like a clip of that Depeche Mode song. I don't remember the name of it, but I remember it was definitely Depeche Mode. But I think, yeah, absolutely, Krypton's done Brainiac complete justice. But Stolen Memories is a great take on the character, as much as they revised his origins, and they've incorporated him more into like Kryptonian. Like giving him more of like Kryptonian lore and heritage. It's a very good version of the character.
It's pretty good. It's pretty dang good, even though it's kind of more robotic in a sense. You know, again, I hate to bring back, you know, Terminator, but there's a lot of themes of that in the show.
Yeah, there. I think if you look at like Superman in comic books, where you know he's taking on like a lot of like Silver Age characters, there's a lot of like robots. And I think that there's a lot of cool imagery where it's just like Superman punching through robots.
Even in the commentation, they said that he's fighting robots in the Fleischer, I believe.
Yeah, in the Fleischer one, he's always taking on robots, like the Mechanical Monsters episode, which, of course, we'll be getting to eventually. We're looking at season 2 of the Saturday Morning Superman show to explore the Fleischer shorts. But for today's episode, we'll be looking at Stolen Memories. This episode aired originally on November 2nd, 1996. It was written by Rich Fogel and directed once again by director Kurt Gieda. So I'm just going to get right to it. I like this episode a lot. It's not one of my favorites, especially if we look at it compared to The Way of Flesh.
Yeah, I think Metello. Yeah, I think I like that one more.
But it's still pretty cool nonetheless, especially because it's the first episode that fully acknowledges the sci-fi concept of, are we alone in the universe? And how does the world react to when it finds out, you know, that we're not alone? These were very high science fiction concepts that were only really explored as definitively and as authoritatively in Man of Steel. And Stolen Memories opens up with Brainiac and Lex Luthor intercepting his transmissions and meeting him. We see Lois and Jimmy undercover, and you see there's like this whole site that they have out somewhere in like the desert, which you figure is outside, you know, of Metropolis, and they're about to be making first contact with Brainiac. But for those who listened to this episode with commentary, if you have the DVD, it's kind of worth pointing out that the episode begins truly with like a truck,
a black truck. Yeah. And the commentator said that was the exact same truck that they used for the Batman animated series.
Yeah,
it's
the Batman the animated series Batmobile, but just upside down. So that's kind of funny to take into consideration.
I was wondering why it was a weird looking truck too. It was like, that's an oddly shaped truck. It's like very squarish.
It's interesting because before at this point, the Batmobile was very angular and shapely. And then when you got to 2005, when Christopher Nolan introduced the Tumbler as the Batmobile, that's become now more of like what everybody thinks of the Batmobile. So the upside down Batmobile in this opening almost kind of like set like the seeds for like what the Tumbler would be. But Stolen Memories is just a very heavy science fiction episode. And the idea of first contact, and naturally who the world would make first contact with, or who Lex Luthor would make first contact with, but none other than Brainiac. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of that Steven Spielberg movie that came out, I believe it was in, was it 78? I forget, it was the one where the aliens were abducting
people. Close Encounters.
Close Encounters, there we go. Yeah, I recently watched that after taking science fiction class and stuff like that, and this episode very much reminds me of it, but, you know, a little bit just, like, getting straight to the point of having Brainiac encounter Lex Luthor right here in the scene. You were, like, probably thinking in your head while watching the scene is, like, you know, you have two major Superman villains talking to each other, and how's their relationship? Could it be, like, you know, could it be, like, where they band together to take on Superman? That's what I was thinking in the beginning of the episode. Like, could they band together?
Yeah, I think the setup for the episode actually is very interesting, because the episode ultimately subverts expectations mm-hmm. from what you would expect from it. I think that absolutely has to be credited to Rich Fogel. They do a good job at having Brainiac and Lex be introduced to one another, and then ultimately Lex gives Brainiac data on Earth, and he calls it a planetary primer. And I love wording like that
mm-hmm.
because to me, I feel like if you were going to do like a Superman movie and you were going to have Lex and Brainiac meet, this is exactly the what would bring them together mm-hmm. and what would ultimately lead to trouble, where Lex would give Brainiac something that's like a primer on Earth without realizing who he's handing this information over to yeah. and the kind of things that he would do with it. But what's kind of cool that I want to point out is in Lex meeting Brainiac and giving and making and him being the one to make first contact and to give him the Brainiac, the collector of data, a CD that serves as, quote, a planetary primer. Again, I have to point out Batman v Superman again, especially in the Ultimate Edition, where you really begin to learn more of how Lex Luthor is making contact with something that's not of this Earth. Ultimately,
you're talking about Doomsday?
Well, not Doomsday, but in Batman v Superman, Lex Luthor contacts Apocalypse, and he contacts Steppenwolf.
Oh, that's right.
And Steppenwolf is related to Darkseid, of course. And at the end of Batman v Superman,
Ultimate Edition.
Well, yeah, when Batman confronts him in prison, he says, like, the bell's been rung, and you know, like, you know, they're coming, and he goes on about that, and you begin to see that, like, okay, Lex contacted something that's otherworldly, and that's, like, he went around, like poking his, like, nose around where he shouldn't have,
yeah.
and, like, now he just contacted something that's gonna be very, very, deadly and pose a great threat. And so I like how you see here where Lex Luthor obviously made contact with Brainiac
mm-hmm.
without fully understanding what he was doing,
yeah.
and he didn't realize the mistake that he made. But there's a lot that's going on within the beginning of Stolen Memories. I think ultimately all of that leads to Superman confronting Brainiac.
Yeah, this episode, to me, honestly, it kind of felt like a mid-season or a season finale, honestly, because it feels like it could lead off to, you know, like a break and then returning back to like where we left off with Brainiac, because we've been watching a lot of, so far has been a lot of episodes where pretty big name villains are going to be having their stories continued on, like, over time throughout the series, obviously. And since Brainiac being a big one, like, it just feels like a mid-season that you would watch today, or like, you know, an actual season finale, and that we would take like that long like winter break or summer break, and then we come back to, okay, this is where we left off to.
When Stolen Memories originally aired on November 2nd, this was actually the episode where Superman the Animated Series picked up off on after going on like a mini hiatus.
Okay.
Yeah. Cartoons at like that time, they would air like a few episodes and then just go into reruns.
Okay.
I remember that was like a big thing for me as a kid that I'd always be frustrated with, be it, you know, with Spider-Man or Batman or X-Men or any of those animated series, that you'd end up seeing so many of the same episodes over and over again, and you'd be like dying for a new episode. So they basically, the whole month of September served as new Superman episodes, And then for the whole month of October, it was just, like, in reruns. And then this was the first new episode in November. So it was, they made you wait, you know, like, about, like, a good 2 months from the premiere before they introduced Brainiac. And I think also at this time, even from what I remember, this was the episode that everybody was waiting for. Mm-hmm. Mattel and Parasite were cool and all, but like Brainiac was set up as the villain in the movie,
yeah,
in Last Son of Krypton. So to revisit him now for the first time and finally see Superman go head to head against him, I think that was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I could just imagine what fans are like thinking. That's like, oh, we're finally getting to see Brainiac in his full form, you know, after Last Son of Krypton, getting that little taste of him and what their take on him is like. And here, him interacting with Superman, trying to, in a way, you know, manipulate him and saying like, oh, we're, you know, we're both kind of last sons of Krypton in a way, or I am Krypton. And he's trying to convince him that he's kind of like the good guy here, and he's collecting all these orbs or memory orbs, for like research purposes, you know, because that's Brainiac in a way. Like, he collects cities and like he likes knowledge. And in here, the take on Brainiac is much different. Instead of collecting cities, he collects memories. So he, like, goes to destroy worlds, and he collects the world's memories to keep in these orbs, which it's kind of like taking Brainiac and you're changing him, but you're not changing his, you know, his personality or, like, the like what he loves to do, and that is knowledge. He likes to collect knowledge in the universe.
And he's still identifiable enough to the fans where I feel like you could watch it and you could feel like, oh yeah, no, this is what Brainiac does. Yeah. In the commentary, Bruce Timm makes a joke about Brainiac kind of being like, you know, like the ultimate kind of collector.
Yeah.
And he makes like a joke like, oh, like I have stuff that you don't have. And I think with both Justin and I being collectors, and I would imagine many of you that are listening as comic collectors and figure collectors and stuff like that, it's that idea that, like, you have so much stuff, and Brainiac's, like, the ultimate completist, where mm-hmm. he has, like, everything.
Yeah, he wants everything.
But it's cool because you see Brainiac meets Superman, and he refers to them as twin sons of Krypton. And Brainiac, I mean, he is honest with Superman, where he does tell him from the start that I'm from Krypton, too. And again, like, he refers to them both as twin sons of Krypton. But then he makes Superman an offer where they can basically, like, after he gauges Superman's powers and you find, like the memory modules, he basically makes Superman the offer that, like, look, we could, like, go across the stars and mm-hmm. we could collect, you know, all this knowledge. And with every planet we take, I'll give you another piece of, like, Krypton's memories.
Yeah.
And,
he's basically asking him to go on a long-running Tahiti vacation.
Yeah, it's funny, because the thing is, I can't help but keep on bringing back, you know, especially a lot of, like, Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, but it's kind of like Zod, you know, encountering Superman mm-hmm. and basically saying, like, look, we're both from Krypton.
Let's save
our
world.
You know, we're going to save our world. And, of course, you know, someone like Zod or like Jaxxer and Mala, you know, their allegiance is completely to Krypton, whereas we know Brainiac, you know, again, like, he doesn't care about Krypton. It's just kind of like, you know, I just want to go around collecting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to see him offer Superman the possibility of doing that. But later on in Stolen Memories, when Clark is at home, he begins to dream in memories of Krypton, and he sees Lara holding him as a baby. He sees his father, Jor-El, confronting the council about the destruction of Krypton. He sees Brainiac shutting his father out mm-hmm. and also turning Krypton against him. And ultimately, he sees the destruction of his homeworld, and it finishes on Brainiac saying, so long, Krypton.
Yeah.
And just basically, heading out.
He found out that Brainiac was that, you know, long-running girlfriend of Krypton that just straight up left out the door with all their stuff.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Of course, Brainiac was introduced in Action Comics 242. He was also created by Otto Binder and Al Plastino, And again, you know, it's really cool when you think of a lot of the characters being utilized right now for Superman, like Brainiac and like Metallo and Toyman and Parasite, where, you know, they weren't people that Superman was encountering from, you know, early action. You know, it's like from, it's issue 242, mm-hmm. so, you know, there's more than 200 issues that happened before Brainiac was ever introduced, and before he was even introduced in the way that we now have him. So it's cool to see how much Superman the Animated Series pays respect to the entire history of Superman while, you know, honoring different eras of Superman. You know, you get a little Golden Age Superman, you get a lot of Silver Age Superman, mm-hmm. and then also there's a lot of, like, you know, like Bronze, you know, Age Superman found within the writing of this show.
Yeah, it's good to mix, you know, different eras of Superman, just like how today they just mixed, you know, Aquaman, like for the movie, they just mixed, you know, New 52 with the original, you know, by keeping those old costume designs, mm-hmm. while also mixing in with the new characters, like Jason Momoa playing as Aquaman. That's definitely New 52 without a doubt. But then just the look, they just kept it original, just, you know, kind of keep that nostalgia look.
Yeah, you kind of had like a little bit of like the 2000s JLA look with like the long hair and beard. But yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to point out at how, like, all the interpretations that, like, whoever is called up next to kind of serve in, like, crafting, like, the current stories for, you know, these characters, like, it's interesting to see where they take from and where they don't. As a fan myself, I think one of my ultimate, you know, dreams would always be to, like, you know, get the call and say, like, oh, you know, we want you to create, you know, like, the next story arc. It's going to be, like, 4 to 6 issues. Or, you know, we want you to kind of, like, craft, like, the story for, like, the next film. And you have to think about it, like, you know, from, like, a writing standpoint, but also just, like, as a fan standpoint. Like, well, where do you start? And what do you want to say with the character? And what does the character mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, oh, I think that part of that creative process is probably a lot of fun to be a part of.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of, like, creating and, like, what their limits are, I feel like in terms of animation, they almost have, like, no limits except for just the actual animation themselves. But for storytelling-wise, it's, like, almost open to interpretation for anything. Like, for example, in the commentation right here in this scene, for when Superman is confronting Brainiac once again after what he's learned, and he goes back to the room with all the memories are, and he's touching them, and the scene right here where there's a, well, you can't see it, but in the scene where Superman's basically standing on top of, like, a pillar, and there's a 360 pan around the screen, showing the world and everything, you know, being destroyed, the commentation said that there was supposed to be animated dead bodies in there, but it just never got to it. But you could see how, like, you know, through animation, you could kind of open up the storytelling to how you want it to be.
And you can completely, I like that it goes into that because, you know, we're seeing Superman being placed in a position where, of course, naturally, you know, he wants to preserve Krypton as much as possible, and he wants to learn,
yeah,
you know, as much about his heritage and his homeworld. But he's also, again, you know, put in a place where he's faced with this decision of, like, you know, I'm fighting this monster who's partially, you know, responsible for the, yeah, death of my homeworld. But also for the death of so many other homeworlds. So how do I put, you know, my own desires, you know, how do I keep that at bay? And how do I really, like, approach this? I like Superman seeing the destruction of all the other home planets. But I really like when you see him, like, let go of the module, and he's just on his knees, and you see, like, the anger inside him, mm-hmm. where, like, he's really understanding that, like, okay, this just didn't happen to my homeworld, but this has happened to so many other homeworlds. And it sets up a really cool fight between him and Brainiac. Brainiac, of course, is using a lot of, like, his, like, technical gadgetry and what have you. It was interesting because, again, you know, in the commentary, like, Bruce Timm and Alan Burnett and Paul Dini, they talk a lot about, like, the animation of the sequence and how unhappy they were at it, like, when they were first getting the animation for it, they were very unhappy with, like, how slow it was.
And they're very unhappy with the show as a whole, I believe, as well.
Yeah, they were unhappy with, I think, just, like, how the animation really had to be heavily edited. But then how surprised they were with, like, when they got it back.
Yeah.
And, like, just how much better it looked after, like, the editing. Superman the Animated Series is an interesting show because, yes, it, you know, it exists in the shadow of Batman the Animated Series, and, you know, Batman, I think, really lays credit to being able to, you know, it's like that age-old thing of being able to say, like, you did it first.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you didn't necessarily do it better or whatnot, but you did it first. And Superman kind of exists as, like, oh, you know, I'm here too. But I do like the fight scene between Superman and Brainiac, namely because, you know, you're seeing two figures, two, like, very modern, you know, you're seeing two modern mythological figures fight. And I do like, again, you know, you have the voice work between Tim Daly and Corey Burden, and they both leave their marks on the character, and there's a lot of really cool dialogue and really interesting moments between them.
Yeah, the fight scene is very, you know, good, especially when he, like, I bet for a lot of people it might have been a shocker back then, where he punches Brainiac right dead in the middle of the chest, because people are like, oh no, we just got Brainiac, like, now he's gone, like, already. But no, like, if you pay attention close enough, like, Brainiac can, or you know anything about Brainiac, Brainiac is almost like, I don't know if he, I would say if he is never ending, but...
I would say so, because, I mean, with him being this intelligence, you know, this very alert intelligence, you know, we've seen him move from Krypton to his first physical form when he took over the alien ship at the end of Last Son of Krypton Part 3, which was not the body that he has here. Yeah. So I would imagine that without it being said or being shown, he's probably encountered several different alien races, as we've already seen, and he's probably taken technology from all of them to kind of construct the body that he has now. Lex Luthor ultimately has to work somewhat alongside Superman to shut down the threat of Brainiac in the episode, and the episode concludes with where you see the Brainiac and alien code within Lex's systems, and Lex is like, you know, I've had enough with aliens for the day. But that's a cool setup for, you know, just Brainiac for the future.
Yeah.
But we also probably get one of the most important moments in the show, and that's Superman. He has the memory module, and he brings it to what we ultimately know as the Fortress of Solitude, and he makes reference to that, like, you know, that he thinks, like, this place is going to serve as a good home.
Yeah.
And the Fortress of Solitude, of course, you know, from Superman the movie to the TV shows across, mm-hmm. like, any Superman representation, I think everybody knows what that is. So I feel like stolen memories, for me at least, it wasn't my favorite episode, but I feel like it was the culmination in the story that began in Last Son of Krypton Part 1. And I feel like Stolen Memories very much closes out the first chapter in Superman's story, where you go from Krypton to him meeting a lot of the villains that he's going to meet, to him ultimately coming face-to-face with one of the people responsible for the destruction of Krypton, to getting the Fortress of Solitude. And I feel like Superman ends this episode very much one step closer to being, like, the Superman that we know and love, if not already fully being, you know, the Superman that we know and love.
Yeah, this episode is not exactly my favorite as well, but, I mean, it does lead off to so many, like, you know, big possibilities for Brainiac, but also, like, you know, leads off to, we got the Fortress of Solitude kind of finally, and we're going to see that build up, hopefully, over the season, or even just the show entirely. And, like, I think the biggest thing to think about is to, like, even though he has this orb that contains all of Krypton's memories, I just wonder, like, what, like, it's safe for him to be using, because, like, just, like, seeing all those memories, like, yes, it could be helpful, but then again, that could also bring Superman a lot of pain, you know, just seeing his homeworld destroyed, and, like, seeing, like, his family, his real family, and just, you know, how is he gonna be feeling, like, mentally when he goes through all of that.
Yeah, there's a lot, I think, that sets up the rest of the series within this, especially within what you see Superman encounter. The two things that I'd like to point out, I guess before we conclude Stolen Memories, is one, when Corey Burden came in to discuss the role of Brainiac, Bruce Timm had a very specific sound that he wanted, and Corey Burden delivered this very Vic Perrin-like voice for Brainiac. Vic Perrin, of course, was the voice of Control for the Outer Limits, and we all know the Outer Limits is, you know, do not attempt to, you know, control, you know, your TV. We have now taken, like, that kind of thing. And that's not my Brainiac. That's not my Brainiac impersonation at all. But I think in understanding that Brainiac is supposed to have a certain sound, it's kind of cool to know that the creation of his voice is very much rooted in the Outer Limits fandom, and I think that speaks a lot to Bruce Timm as a sci-fi fan and somebody that like I very much relate to. Also, the flying Lazy Boy chair that Brainiac has in this episode was all basically inspired because of merchandising. I have Brainiac's
Lazy Boy chair.
I believe it's in the package up on...
I think it's that one right there.
Yeah, up on my shelf. And it's interesting, again, to think about how so much of this at this time was moved by merchandising and how, like, okay, we're going to do Brainiac, but how a toy company steps in, like, well, you know, we need him to be in a cool vehicle. And then they're like, all right, well, like, how about this? So it's kind of cool to think of, like, how much merchandising has to do with... how creators are influenced in what they and what they're able to develop. But Justin, where can we find you?
You can find me at Justin Candelaria on Instagram and also Prime Critic Entertainment as on Instagram as well.
And you can find me at Sherbert Danny Jr. on Instagram, along with finding me at Reggie Mantle uppercase III on Twitter. You could also find the Saturday Morning Superman Show on both Instagram and Twitter. And if you like this episode and if you like what we've been doing so far, again, please, you know, give us a rating, give us a review, subscribe. And we're always open to fan suggestions and also more so just fan discussions. We want to hear what you think about Superman the Animated Series. Maybe there's an episode that you're really looking forward to. We both love to hear it. The Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York. And we'll see you again next Saturday. Be well.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic book shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, offering some of the best in pop culture needs and collectibles.
Hi, I'm Steven Viscotti.
And I'm Justin Candelaria.
And you're listening to
the Saturday Morning Superman Show. Now we're double pointing right here.
That's the blooper.
That's the blooper right there.